pray today for peace that passes all understanding. We want to thank you today for coming and lend your support and your sympathy and encouragement to the family and to the Cormican family. I just encourage you to just hang on to the words that are spoken to you today and let people, let their love minister to you today, the love of Christ, the peace of God, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Robert J. Cormican, age 27, of Clear Lake, Wisconsin, died Saturday, January 17th, 2015 at Mayo Health Systems of Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Robert was born August 26, 1987, in Amory, Wisconsin, to James and Deanna Platson Cormican. He worked alongside his family as loggers. Robert is preceded in death by his grandfather, Jerry Cormican. Robert is survived by parents James and Deanna Cormican, brothers Nathaniel, Scott, Christopher, and Kevin, with fiancée Jennifer Cormican, nephew and niece James and Miranda Cormican, grandparents Sandy Cormican, Don and Kathy Platson, great-grandmother Retha Platson. He is further survived by other relatives and friends. Let's pray. Father, we want to invite your Holy Spirit into this place today. We want to invite the Comforter that can only do what the Comforter, the power of God, can do. We pray today, Lord, for your peace that passes all understanding, that it would guard the hearts and minds of the family and friends that have gathered here today. We also pray, Lord, that we would see hope beyond the grave and know that you have prepared a very special place in your heavenly home for those who have trusted you in this life to be their Savior and to grant them life beyond this life, eternal life, at home in heaven. And so, Lord, today we pray that you would accomplish today what only you could accomplish in every heart and every life. In Jesus' name, amen. In Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17, it says, "And it came to pass the day after that he," that's Jesus, "went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the brier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying, That a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about." Jesus raised that young man from the dead. And among others that Jesus raised was a little girl and then an older man named Lazarus. And you know that Jesus broke up every funeral he ever came to. And what he was doing from the very beginning was showing that he came to give his life so that he could defeat death. And he did defeat death once and for all, in that he died once, and then he sat down at the right hand of the Father on high. And because of his resurrection, we know that as believers, we also have a resurrection to look forward to. Now, all these people in the Bible, they died again, but they show us that Jesus had power over death, and that through death, he destroyed death. Just think of what he said to the people who had gathered for the funeral of Lazarus. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And then he asked that question, "Believest thou this? Do you believe my words?" And so we know today that Bobby is risen, that he passed from death to life. And then there's peace that comes to us from having that assurance and that knowing Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So why don't we need to be troubled? Because Jesus goes on to say, "You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." We know this to be true because Jesus always told the truth. And he said through the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 1, I thought was very appropriate today since Bobby was such a young person, and I know that makes it all the much harder. But there's a verse, two verses really, in Isaiah chapter 40, where the Lord says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. I know Bobby wasn't a child, but he was still a young person. And you know, to mom and dad, your children are always your little lambs. And so Jesus carries him safely into his bosom, and he wants you to be comforted with that thought. If you have your, if you could, would you take the Bibles that's in the pew there and turn to Psalm 23. I would like us to read the 23rd Psalm together this morning, or this afternoon. Psalm 23, it's a very familiar psalm. It's one we use in funerals quite often. If you have it there, let's read together. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What grace that is. Join us as a congregation singing Amazing Grace.
Sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind.
Clark has a special at this time.
Thank you. Some of the brothers would like to share. I don't know who's going first, but they would like to share some thoughts this morning.
James wanted to share a couple things, but I asked him a couple things he'd want to say to Uncle Bob, that I let him know we'd remember him. Uncle Bob was pretty special to all of us. One of the things James remembers, Uncle Bob taught him how to cast a fish pole. It's a little hard to read too. So. Uncle Bob helped him draw Timco just like Grandpa's. He helped him make some log trailers out of some old toys he had around. The thing he likes the most is when Uncle Bob let him drive his tractor. He wants Uncle Bob to know that he's going to have a hard time without you, and he loves you. A lot of things to say about Bob and the great person he was. His big heart. His willingness to help do anything. Anytime somebody needed him, he was there. His sense of humor. Bob could always make you laugh no matter what you were doing. And no matter what you did, there was always a story to tell afterwards. Bob wasn't afraid to pick on you. He could certainly take it back just as well. There was plenty of that in our family growing up. But when we were younger, you always had to remember with Bob, if you got too nasty, you might end up getting the Cornhusker, which was Bob's version of the wedgie. Bob loved kids. He was great with James. Miranda, I heard the words Uncle Bobby a lot at home. James could never wait to see him, whether it was to play farming or logging or go fishing. He always wanted to be like his Uncle Bobby. He even had a pair of bib overalls so he could be like Uncle Bob. Bob was a man of God. He believed in faith and a great example to a lot of us boys, other people that knew him. And I always looked up to Bob, even being the oldest. I think he helped us all be a better person. When I picture Bob or think of him, the first things that come to my mind are his big grin, his freckles, and in the recent years, his beard. Bright orange Duck Dynasty inspired beard. He was proud of that thing, and rightfully so. Me, on the other hand, I can't grow facial hair. And my family certainly knows that. And Bob made sure I knew that. He told me not too long ago that real men grow a beard, he said. Well, that's certainly right. Bob was a real man. So proud that he was my brother.
Well, Bob wasn't just a brother to me, he was also a best friend. And I had the honor and privilege of working side by side with him for the last 10 years or so. And I watched him grow into a wonderful guy. He was both loving and lovable. And though as guys in our 20s, we didn't say it much, as our family, we know that he knew we loved him. And I could go on for hours of what Bob meant to me and how awesome and unique of a guy he was, but it's just easier to say that those of us that spent time around him were made to be better people because of him, and he enriched our lives beyond measure. I'm so glad I was able to spend so much time with him because he was really one of a kind, and his lasting impact has only begun to be felt in our lives. And I know he has a special place in heaven because he'll always hold a special place in our hearts. And we love you, Bob.
Bob will always be remembered for many things, including a kind heart, jolly attitude, and an unwavering strength and belief in God. Most of all, I remember Bob for the adventures on the water that we spent together. Bob taught me lots about fishing and always knew where to go. We didn't always see eye to eye, but he always outfished me, and there was no one else I would have rather spent my time.
A lot harder once you get up here. As I'm the youngest of these guys, good to know I still have them guys there. But as my woman put it, Bob was always the better man over the hill. I tell people, Bob was the kind of guy that'd give you the shirt off his back, the shoes off his feet, and then offer you a piggyback ride. There's no replacing him. He's the best man I knew and the best brother. You don't know what to say, and like Bob, I'm not a man of many words, but I hope he knows how much we care, how much we'll miss him. We love you, Bob.
Is there anybody else that wanted to share some thoughts?
Sorry. I didn't have time to write anything down. I figured the more time that I took to write stuff down, the longer that the whole booklet would be, and we'd be here till 3:00 in the afternoon at that. So I sat and I thought about the most important thing, or more important things that Bob did for me. And the reality of it is, Bob was more of a security blanket and more of a man to me than I guess anybody else in my life besides Kevin. If Kevin was ever gone or I needed something, Bob was, he was my phone call away. The first time that I ever actually came encounter with Bob was back when Jim and Dee Dee were building their house, and I walked in the garage and there he was just screaming at Uncle Stevie. Just Stevie, and I'm looking at him, I'm like, God, you know, it's like that guy seems kind of crazy. And then the last thing that I got to say to him was that I loved him. And the kid was amazing. There's not much else that you can say. I thought that I had friends in high school, and when I got out of high school, I thought for sure I'd still have a lot of them friends, but I don't. I look at it, and Bob was, he was my only friend, the only one who went out of his way to stop and see if I wanted to do something with them or if Kevin wanted to do something. And that means more to me than anything now than it did then. I'm going to miss him.
Is there anyone else? I'm sure the family would enjoy hearing some stories, some words of comfort as you have fellowship time later on. I'd like to just encourage you with some thoughts about death as a defeated foe. In the psalm that we read, Psalm 23, in verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." I've been studying that psalm a lot lately. One of the things I came to realize is that there can be no valley without mountains. Isn't that true? There cannot be a valley without mountains. And if you look at Psalms 22, 23, and 24, you see a valley in between two mountains. Psalm 22 talks about Calvary. It talks about Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. Then 23 talking about the shadow of death, but then Psalm 24 is a mountain on the other side. It's Mount Zion. It's the time when Jesus comes and he's going to take us to heaven. If you trust in Jesus as your Savior, then he's going to take you to heaven someday. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death here, we don't need to fear because there are mountains on either side. Mount Calvary, where the blood of Jesus was shed, the blood-drenched slopes of Mount Calvary offer us forgiveness for our sin. And then the coronation, where Jesus is described as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But you know, as I thought about that, I thought that there are three times in the New Testament that Jesus is referred to as a shepherd. In John chapter 10 and verse 11, he said, "I am the good shepherd." What does the good shepherd do? The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's what Psalm 22 talks about. Jesus is the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, it talks about Jesus being the chief shepherd. It says, "When the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." See, the good shepherd died for me. The good shepherd died for Bobby. The good shepherd died for you. The chief shepherd will come and get you someday and take you to heaven. The chief shepherd came and took Bobby. We don't know why. We don't have the answers to all of those things, but we do know that he's a shepherd who loves us. And the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want any good thing. But in between those two mountains, there is that valley. There is the valley of the shadow of death. And even there, Jesus is a shepherd. He's called the great shepherd in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. It says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep." So you see, he's the one that raised from the dead. He's the one that conquered the valley of death in that he died for me, but he also lives for me. And Bobby is, I believe, through talking to him when he came to church here and some of the discussions that we had, believe that he had trusted in Jesus. And so that he is in the presence of the chief shepherd today, but the great shepherd is here with you, his family in particular, and his friends today to lead you through this valley. He wants to be your shepherd. He wants to be the one that would meet your needs. You're in the valley today, but look to the mountains. Look to the love that poured forth from our Savior on Mount Calvary. Look to the time when there will be a reunion in heaven when the chief shepherd has come to get us and bring us to our place in our heavenly home. So there cannot be
any valley without mountains. There also cannot be any shadow without light. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I want you to know today that death is just that. It's just a shadow. It's just a shadow. Jesus took the gloom out of the grave. He took the dread out of dying. He offers a hope that is steadfast and sure. You see, a shadow might frighten you. I've been afraid of shadows sometimes. A shadow might frighten you, but a shadow can never hurt you. There cannot be a shadow without light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. There was a great preacher whose wife died, and she was very pretty young herself and left a little girl. And of course, the little girl didn't understand about all the intricacies of life and what happened to her mommy. She didn't understand about sin and all of that. But one day, this preacher took his little girl shopping, and they went downtown and they parked outside a department store. And while they were sitting there, all of a sudden, a truck came by. And the shadow from this truck was cast onto that department store wall. And in fact, the shadow was actually bigger than the truck itself. And the little girl said, Daddy, look at the shadow of that truck. And he thought right then, you know, I'm going to teach my little girl a lesson. And he said, Sweetheart, if you had a choice, would you rather be hit by the truck or by the truck shadow? And she said, Well, Daddy, I'd rather be hit by the shadow of the truck. And he said, That's right, darling. He said, It's only a shadow that hit Mama. You see, Jesus was hit by the truck. He took death straight on. And he conquered death and he defeated death. And now the only thing death can do is cast a shadow upon us. See, there cannot be a shadow without light. A verse that has blessed me is Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, where it says, The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Today I want you to look at the light and just realize that the shadow just falls behind you. You don't have to see it, but you can walk in the light. You can walk in the light and the truth of the resurrection of Christ, and as he promises to be our resurrection in life as well. And the third thing is that there can be no evil without a greater good. There can be no evil without a greater good. Psalm 23 begins by saying, The Lord is my shepherd. He's saying that Jehovah is my shepherd. And when you look at that, we understand that the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. And he is with us always. He says he's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And Jesus gives us that which is good. And it keeps on getting better and better and better. There can be no shadow without light. There cannot be any evil without a greater good, because truth is greater than error, and grace is greater than sin, and our sovereign is greater than Satan, and life is greater than death. And life will conquer death, thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, death is certain for all of us, unless the Lord would come back and take us to heaven before that happens. But otherwise, we all face that. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But after that also is our heavenly dwelling place. As the psalmist said, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. No ifs, ands, or buts. One of the sweetest passages in all the Bible is in John chapter 14, where Jesus underscored what David said when he said, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Jesus was talking about the same place that David was talking about. Heaven is a certain place, and heaven is also a place where we can call home. Think of all the companions that will be in heaven. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. It doesn't mean a building. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the household of God. It's those who have become followers of Christ throughout the ages. What a great time that will be. You remember when David had a little son who died, and he hadn't fasted and prayed and cried and wept for this child. And the child finally died, and David then got up and washed his face and took food, and people were amazed at the turnaround. They thought, you know, he acted so horribly when the child was sick. We thought he would really take it hard when he died. But you know what David said? David says, well, he can't come to me, but I can go to him. Heaven is a real place. And it's not something that we talk about just to make us feel better. It's a real place. And the company of heaven will be made up of those who believe and trust in Jesus. And the greatest thing, I think, will be Jesus is going to be there himself, though. And what a day that will be when we see the one who died for us. And we see our loved ones that have gone before us. And we see the redeemed of all the ages. What a great company. What a great household of faith in heaven. When I was preparing for this service, I wanted something to relate to Bobby's life and something to give to the family. And as I prayed about it, and I thought, you know, I know he liked hunting and fishing. And I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord directed me to a story, I believe. And it was when Peter and the disciples were fishing. It was after the death and resurrection of Jesus. It was early in the morning. Jesus was on the shore. The fishermen were still out there, about 100 yards from shore or so. And as they're fishing, they see a figure on the shore. They can't quite make out who it is. So this person on the shore yells out, "Hey, fellas, have you caught anything?" That's a question a fisherman doesn't want to hear when he hasn't caught anything, right? Of course, that never happened. I know it never happens to any of the Cormacans. They're all good fishermen. But these guys hadn't taken anything. And so the figure on the shore says, "Why don't you cast your nets on the right side of the boat?" Well, that's kind of crazy. We fished all night. We've tried all these areas, but maybe he sees something we don't. And they cast their net on the other side of the boat. And there is this huge catch. In fact, there's so many fish that one boat can't handle them all. They have to call other nearby boats to help them contain the catch. Somebody says, "It's the Lord." And Simon Peter, he jumps in the water and he swims to the shore to see Jesus. And he gets there and there's Jesus. He's already got breakfast waiting. Can you imagine fishing all night? The hunger. And all of a sudden you get over to the shore and there's fresh fish on the coals and there's freshly baked bread. And Jesus says, "Come and dine." What sweet words that must have been. I don't know how that got there, but there it was, ready for them to eat. And as they're talking, Jesus says, after giving this invitation, "Come and dine," he turns to Peter, and he said, you probably remember the words that he said. He said, "Peter, do you love me? Do you love me?" And as I knew Bobby, not real well, but I did know him some, especially when he attended our church and some of the discussions that we had, I do know this, that Bobby loved Jesus. And so that is really, I think, the greatest question that can be asked today. And Jesus knew that Bobby loved him. And what greater thing could be said about somebody than that they loved Jesus, that they loved the Lord? He didn't ask any other questions. He just said, "Do you love me?" And Bobby loved Jesus. And I was told that even in the hospital room, Bobby would play his Christian music, Christian radio,
He loved Jesus. He wasn't afraid to show people that he loved Jesus. And you know what? Now he's going to love Jesus forever. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell forever, eternally, in the house of the Lord. Heaven is for real. Heaven is a place where Jesus is. Heaven is a place where the company, the household of faith, will someday gather forever. I would like to close with a story. There used to be a great preacher who preached in Arkansas. His name was Joe Henry Hankins. He pastored in Texas before he went to Arkansas, and in Texas, upon one occasion, he had a woman who gave her heart to Christ and was going to be baptized Sunday night in the church. She was married to a businessman. Joe Henry Hankins went by to see that businessman on Saturday to try to lead him to Christ. But sadly, the man had no time for God, no time for Jesus. But Joe Henry Hankins went by the house and pled with this man. He presented the plan of salvation and begged this man to give his heart to Christ and to be baptized along with his wife. The man listened to the preacher's earnest plea, and then he said to this preacher, he said, "Preacher, what you have said is right. I do need to give my heart to Christ. I do need to be saved. And I promise you, tomorrow morning when the invitation is given, I will come down that aisle and I will accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I will be baptized with my wife." The preacher said, "Great, that's wonderful. Praise God." And he began to leave the house and he started out. He put his hand on the doorknob and the Holy Spirit or a voice inside of him or something said to him, "There's something not right about that." And so he went back to the businessman and he said, "Listen, if you're going to do that anyway tomorrow, why don't we just get it settled now? You can give your heart to Jesus now, and then you can come tomorrow morning and you can get baptized tomorrow night, but let's get it started. Let's get it settled now." And the businessman said, "Preacher, I've got a reputation. I have a reputation in this world for keeping my word. I'm an honest businessman. If I say I'm going to do it tomorrow morning, you don't have to worry about it. I will do it. You have my word." He said, "Well, all right." Praise God. He started out. And again, he stopped. And he said, "Go back." Something inside him said, "Go back and talk to that man." So Joe Henry Hankins went back the third time. And he took with him this time his Bible. And he opened it to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 that says, "Behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation." He put it under the man's nose and he said, "Pat, you read it. Pat, God's word says today. Satan says tomorrow, but God says today. Who are you going to listen to?" He said, "Well, preacher, I've been listening to Satan for a long time, and he's never brought me anything but misery. I'm going to listen to God." And he got down on his knees with that preacher and he gave his heart to Christ. And he said, "Tomorrow, I'll be in church. Tomorrow night, I'll be baptized." The next morning, when Joe Henry Hankins was standing on the front steps of his church, he's greeting the people as they're coming in. Pat's nephew came up and said, "Preacher, Uncle Pat's had a heart attack in the night. He's at home. He told me to tell you he's sorry he couldn't be here. He intended to be here, but he's sick. The doctor won't let him come." That noon, the pastor was sitting at home eating his noon meal. The phone rang. It was Pat's sister-in-law. She called and said, "Preacher, you need to know. The doctor has told us that Pat has had another heart attack. It's much worse than the first one, and the doctor says that there doesn't seem to be much hope." The pastor said to himself, "Well, I'll finish my meal and I'll go right over there." But before he got up from the table, the phone rang the third time. It was the sister-in-law again. She said, "Preacher, don't hurry. Pat has died. He's already gone. But he said to tell you thank you. And he said to tell you that he was sure glad that he took God's way rather than Satan's way. He's glad that he settled it last night. Tell the pastor thank you for causing me to say yes
to Jesus. I don't know where you are in your Christian life, but today is the day of salvation. If you have not given your heart to Christ and trusted Him with your eternal salvation, today is the day to do that. Don't put it off. Don't wait. Bobby's only 27. We don't know how much time we have. We do know that eternity makes all the difference, though. Eternity, it's a long time. It's forever. I heard a story one time, and I'll close with this, but it's what shepherds used to do with their sheep. Shepherd would come to turbulent waters, and somehow he would have to get across those waters and get to the other side. Well, the sheep didn't want to step into those waters. So the shepherd would go and he would take one of the younger lambs in his flock, and he would take that younger lamb in his arms and he would carry it in his bosom, and they would cross the chilling waters to the other side. And that mother knew and saw that her lamb had crossed the water. She would get in the water herself, and then all of a sudden the whole flock would get into the water and they would cross to the other side. As we face the chilling waters of death, again, I don't have all the answers. I don't know why God allowed Bobby to go home. But I do know this, that He is a God of complete love. And He only does that which is best. He works out all things for His good. And when I see God take somebody that we love, what it should do for all of us is to get into the waters of salvation and realize that we can make it safely to the other shore. And God has taken this one as an example for us to follow, to get safely to the other shore, to get safely to heaven. If you're not following Jesus and following Bobby, I would encourage you to do that even this afternoon and just begin to follow Jesus with your life. And soon you'll be glad you did, and He'll get you safely to heaven's shore. In fact, there's a song that we'd like to sing as a congregation. We'll sing it now. It's "Shall We Gather at the River."
Shall we gather at the river?
Dee Dee has recorded a song, and we're going to play it for you this time. You're welcome to go to Tiffany's Cemetery in Boyceville with us if you'd like. If you want to stay and eat, food is provided for you in the multi-purpose room out around this way and down the long hallway. Also, there's a quilt in the back here right behind the sanctuary that if you want to sign that and write something on the orange part of the quilt, the family would welcome that. And so I'd like to close with Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. I'll make it a verse of benediction. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.